Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I personally don't think it would be an issue. Phil's a professional. Is Phil the easiest guy? No, he's hard on himself. He's probably harder on himself than he is on anybody else. Phil's a guy that expects a certain level of compete from himself and expectation for numbers. And if he doesn't get them, then he's not the easiest guy in the world to get along with. He's not the only player in the league that's like that. But I don't see that being an issue. There's a lot of rumors out there that, you know, Phil's this and Phil's that. One thing I know about Phil, Phil's a cancer survivor. Phil's been a top-end scorer in this league for a long time, and Phil Kessel's won two Stanley Cups. That's what I know.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Pony and Mueller Show, the PM Team, 93.7 The Fan, Pierre McGuire, who checks in on Mondays. Great job by Chris yesterday to think ahead and ask Pierre about Kessel returning to the team next year.
Why are you doing this?
It's like you knew that this was going to be a topic today.
I made an offhanded comment in the back I said, yeah, good job by me asking Pierre a question that ended up being relevant to today, but it was tongue-in-cheek. I got
what
lucky.
What an awesome question.
What is my streak,
what
by the
awesome
way,
question.
On Pierre
oh,
telling me awesome question? Are we reaching DiMaggio levels?
It's Iron Horse-esque.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? You're out next week on vacation, and Pierre's still coming on. And I think having to shoulder the burden of questions myself, it's going to affect the
added
overall
pressure.
Quality. Yeah, it's going to dilute my questions.
Jim Rutherford has told now two outlets in town that the Penguins aren't trading Phil Kessel. He was prepared to trade him. It was all but done, but then Kessel nixed the deal to Minnesota. Rutherford, this is from Josh Yoey, quote, he'll probably play for Pittsburgh this season. Also saying that Kessel had a lot of leverage here because there's only eight teams he can trade Phil Kessel to. I've got a couple of thoughts on this, Chris, and that's what's on tap, brought to you by Fatheads 15 Packs, now available in Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry. Jason Mackey's going to join us at 4 to shed some more light on this. He's covered Phil Kessel for the last two seasons. He's been our Penguins insider. Now he's with the Pirates, but we'll, of course, ask him about these Kessel rumors. My first big thought on this is there is no logical trade to be made, and that this is, you circle back and you have to make it work because there's no team on Phil's list of trade partners that will either give you what you need back for him, or there isn't a team that might give you the package you want back, but Kessel doesn't want to play for that team.
Yeah,
so you're stuck between a rock and a hard place is really what I'm saying with Kessel on this. There isn't a match.
Jim Rutherford, I mean, sort of said it too in so many words, and I thought the most interesting quote in the Yoey story that I'm citing is him saying, quote, in situations like this, it usually doesn't work out so well for the team. And he went on to say the rest of it, but that tips the hand right there, does it not? And we all know that he tried to trade him to the Wild. In situations like this, it usually doesn't work out so well for the team, indicating to some extent that Phil Kessel being a Penguin is the situation not working out that well. They wanted to trade him.
They thought what was best for the organization and the team was to get rid of Phil Kessel.
A team that doesn't have Phil Kessel, nor does it have his cap hit on the books.
And now they're going to try to talk themselves into making it work with Kessel, and I think he's the type of personality where he doesn't care. Other guys might have felt wronged or disappointed or upset.
The Rivers Casino's still here. The poker room is still here, okay? I think the guy that this automatically puts the most pressure on is Mike Sullivan to massage the situation on the ice and make all the right moves when it comes to actually how he deploys Kessel. It puts pressure on Rutherford to do other things now, for sure. But people that were in the know, anybody that understands the dynamics of a no-movement clause, knew that this wasn't going to be a slam dunk. I think people just assumed that maybe, yes, they would find somebody that would trade for him. But as you said, the right combination that checked every box that needed to be checked was not out there. The Wild looked like it was going to be, that deal looked like it was going to be the closest thing to it. Kessel nixed it.
I think Florida's going to try to sign a free agent. I don't think they're going to make a trade and give something up. They're going to use their abundance of cap space to find a scorer. I think that Arizona, there's so much confusion there over who's really in charge, who wants Kessel, who doesn't. And I don't think, from what I've heard, that the Coyotes would even offer up the type of package that Jim Rutherford would be motivated or inclined to trade Phil Kessel for. So that leaves very few options. Evidently, there isn't one out there. I agree with what you're saying about Sullivan. It's partly incumbent on him to make it work. There's pressure on Kessel to have a much better season.
I mean, if you're Sullivan, why are you getting paid as a coach? Seriously. Aren't you getting paid to make situations like this that, granted, you find unpalatable, as workable as possible?
That's why he was brought here, because Mike Johnston couldn't make it work with guys like Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang. They were having career, worst seasons.
Oh, they were a joke of a team.
Yeah, and so Sullivan, you've got to find a way. We've got all this talent. It's not cohesive. You've got to bring it all together. And if he can't, then I think he should be shown the door next. I think that would be the next move. If Kessel's back here, what's the major move that jumpstarts the organization again? It's probably getting rid of the coach, which I know some people don't want to hear, but coaches in this business, I think, should not be sacred cows, and the Penguins have
won. Coaches should be treated like players.
The Penguins have won 4 of their 5 Stanley Cups with first-year coaches. So that's part of it. I think now it puts pressure on Rutherford, because he obviously wanted to make some changes, and he can't trade his biggest trade piece. I mean, I still think he should deal Letang, but that seems now like that's completely off the table, that isn't going to happen.
He kind of alluded to that, too. He said Malkin and Letang are staying put.
It's a non-starter for this team. What I believe is happening is this, too, and it was not articulated in either article that I read here about Kessel staying put. I think that there's a chance here that the Penguins have been hoodwinked and bamboozled by what the Boston Bruins have done in these playoffs. If you believe that professional sports is in fact a copycat league, where when you see quarterbacks in their late 30s and early 40s still playing well, the Steelers throw money at Ben Roethlisberger because they think he can keep it going into his late stages of his career. Mm-hmm. You see teams after the Penguins won with speed, other teams tried to duplicate that and replicate and win that way. I think what you have here, I mean, even going baseball with shifts and analytics and sabermetrics and stuff, I would not be shocked if we got wind that some of the higher-ups over at the Penguins looked at the Bruins and said, well, wait a second. Here's a team that's nucleus is all in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really break things up. They got rid of Claude Julien a couple of years ago.
They got older, but they stayed good.
Yes. Chara's 41. Bergeron's 33. Krejci's 32. Marchand is 30. Other than Pasternak, who I think is the Jake Guentzel in their kind of winning formula, 4 of their best players are in their 30s. In one case, a guy is in his 40s. Same with the Penguins. Letang's 31, Malkin's 32, Kessel's 31, Sid's 31.
I know. Here's the difference, though. I'm looking at the Bruins, and I know we have this because we have Pierre Maguire, who joined us yesterday, and you just played the quote about Kessel. I also remember asking him just something about like each of the teams in the finals, and he talked about how good Boston had it on defense, where every defense pair had a solid to very good puck mover. Not an offensive defenseman, but a guy that could skate, right?
Yep.
The Penguins don't have that. And I'm looking at these guys. Charlie McAvoy averages the most time on the ice for any of their defensemen this year. Mm-hmm. He's a puck mover. Krug. Guys like that. Brandon Carlo.
So you're talking about...
They have 3 defensemen minimum, at a minimum, and he has them on each pair who can move the
puck.
So
you're talking about like Trevor Daly's and Ron Hainsey's, guys that don't necessarily put up big points but can skate the puck out
they
of harm's
They have Jack
way.
Johnson
yeah.
still.
Very good point.
They don't have what Boston has. Players that can skate the puck out. When Letang is going great, he's obviously one of the best in the league at this. When Justin Schultz is healthy, I think he's pretty damn good at it.
Okay, so I think what you're also saying is maybe Boston doesn't have as many bad contracts. They've got David Backes, which is an albatross. They're playing against his former team. He captained the Blues, and he's up in the press box. That's how bad it's gotten
correct.
For him there. But they don't have onerous contracts like Patrick Hornquist and Jack Johnson.
The Kessel, failing to deal Phil Kessel is not a referendum on, oh man, this is what happens when you get a player who has a no movement clause and look what happens when a player has leverage. It's a referendum on the Johnson deal and on the Hornquist extension. That's what you just said it. If they don't have Jack Johnson on the books and they don't have Patrick Hornquist signed to that extension, which unless he comes back is going to look very onerous very quickly, it already does.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't do that, they're in a much better spot. Everything Rutherford said in the Yoey piece that I read, at least, seemed to sort of tie back subtly to the idea of finances being the chief concern here. Like, he talked about tweaks to the team, and what did he bring up? Pettersson, McCann, guys who will be due raises as restricted free agents? It seems like it's all numbers to him right now. Like, the Kessel deal would have been, did you not get that same sort of subtle undercurrent? The Kessel deal would have been more about getting the salary more or less off the books.
So I think what you might be alluding to here, and this is how I've looked at it, a lot of what Jim Rutherford said after the season ended was emotional. That the sting of getting swept by the Islanders was still, like, inside of him, was still kind of dictating his actions and his words, and it was pouring out of him. Like, we didn't have a motivated team. We didn't want it as much. We had kind of players that had won Stanley Cups that were complacent and didn't care
Malkin.
As much. Yeah. And now, like, time has gone on, and it's almost like Jim Rutherford sounds like a guy that's like, look, Malkin will bounce back. Kessel will bounce back. Teams have down years. And what happened, it almost read this way to me. The last year was a fluke. We'll be better next year, and we don't need a seismic change to be better.
Well, that's the situation he's in.
We'll run it back pretty much for the most part with the same nucleus and hope for better results.
We'll do what Boston did. Here is, again, the problem. Boston has young, talented players on the blue line who have very specific skill sets. Of course Jim Rutherford's going to say Malkin will be better, Kessel will be better, ipso facto will be better. What other choice does he have? He's boxed in, man. And he's boxed in not because they traded for Phil Kessel, who, might I remind you, and I don't think that this is something I'm necessarily... I'm making a straw man if there are people there who are incensed that Kessel's still going to be on the team, most likely. I think people realize how good he's been. It's not because he got Phil Kessel in a deal. It's because the Pittsburgh Penguins, under Jim Rutherford, decided Jack Johnson was a good signing and that it was smart to give Patrick Hornquist, an old warhorse at this point, a lot more money for a lot more years. That's it. Find me a Charlie McAvoy for this team.
Well, they haven't picked in the first round in 5 years.
My point exactly here. Find me a bunch of guys in their 20s, and McAvoy's really young. He's precocious. But find me a bunch of guys that you can stick on defense here. What do you have, best case scenario? Two of them, Letang and Schultz, if both are playing with their heads screwed on straight, especially Letang. You have two guys that can really move the puck. They like Pettersson a lot, yes? They seem to.
Yeah, I don't look at him. I mean,
he's
maybe
not like McAvoy.
Maybe in a perfect world, he's Brian Dumoulin, who's
okay.
Like a
and
really
they have, Dumoulin, who's
solid
the other
stay-at-home
guy.
Defenseman. I mean, that's...
Okay, so you have Dumoulin paired with Letang. You have Schultz paired with...
You've got Olimata under 25 years old. But,
and stock falling still.
But he can't move.
Right. He's... I just said it. He's... look for... Find me guys that can move the puck and can skate.
Man, you know
The first line of the Olimata scouting report is cannot skate.
Man, you know what you're really hitting on? Is that they have guys who... If the GM shopped him around, probably he figured out there wasn't a lot of value in them. Who wants Hornquist's contract? Letang is still productive, but there are major injury concerns with him, which I think would limit what you could get back.
And they're
for
the
him.
Kind that aren't going to go away because it's a thing that could go at any time.
I think Mata could probably fetch something, but my guess is the Penguins have an inflated opinion of Mata.
They're the guys that drafted him, developed him, and signed him early.
They could trade Schultz and get something back for him.
I still think he's more solution than problem, but, though. He's a very good power
play
general.
So what do you do with him? I mean, you sign him this summer and you give him a sizable raise to like $8, $9,
no,
$10 million?
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You've boxed yourself in. It's the monster of their own creation to some degree, and it's hard to blame them. They've won 3 cups in the cap era. I get it. But this is when the bill comes due, and if the best we're left doing on the air here is comparing them to the Bruins and saying, at least internally, they must think, hey, if Boston can do it, why the hell can't we? If that's the best we've got, that's not a whole lot, man.
Well, we've got a really good show, I think. Jason Mackey's going to join us at 4 for more on this. We've got to get into what happened last night between the Pirates and Braves. We had, I think, fan behavior at its absolute worst last night. We also have a cry for help, a local man who needs our help badly. And we will tell you about that story coming up next. You could text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. And we're brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealer, Shorkey, North Hills, NFL.com. All right. We're going to talk about probably one of the worst examples of fan behavior I've ever seen in about 10 minutes. But first, we try on this show to do a public service sometimes and make the community a better place. And
besides just doing the show, like doing the show obviously makes Pittsburgh a richer community on its own. But yeah, outside of that, Pony and I have we're very service-minded guys.
Yeah.
Public service this, announcement that.
Yeah, I've heard some say that you're the latter-day Fred Rogers. That you have...
I start every day by putting on sneakers after wearing dress shoes out walking, zipping up a sweater.
That you have
crafting
carried
cakes.
On his legacy here in Western Pennsylvania.
Were you aware of the urban legend that he was a military sniper?
Yes.
And wore sweaters with long sleeves to cover up his sniper tattoos? One of my favorite all-time urban legends, by the way. But yes, I've been compared to Fred Rogers favorably, I might add.
So we told you last week about the guy... Well, we didn't know who the alligator belonged to, but now we do.
We felt like it would be a thing a guy would own, just a random alligator.
Mark McGowan of Beachview is his name.
Okay.
5-foot alligator gets loose. Animal control gets called. It's a huge viral story. And then another little alligator gets loose, and it's just been, this has kind of the news stations in town. Like, I don't think...
I found this dude on Facebook. He's like actual... This is what he does.
1020 next door. This is all they're talking about, Chris.
This is
a huge story for them. So...
Holy crap, man.
So Channel 2... Channel 2 catches up with this guy, Mark McGowan.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now... He's now looking for our help. This is a kind of a cry for help from him.
Okay.
Would you like to hear his...
Yes, now I am fascinated.
Sad predicament.
His tale of woe.
Yes.
Man, it must be raining outside. He went into my living room, up on my couch, and out my window, through my locked-in screen. Reptile owners aren't able to call anybody because then they're bad people. People don't like reptiles. I had cops banging on my door like I'm a drug dealer today. If they did that with every dog that accidentally broke out of the house, like why? I'm this big, mean person. Chomp, I can hold him. I can lay on the cots and he lays with me. There's hundreds of people that are going to see this that know Chomp, that hold him, kiss him, take pictures with him. He's harmless.
Chomp is the alligator for those who are
all right.
Maybe puzzled. Just to get to the bottom of this, Mark McGowan is putting this out there because Animal Control still has the alligator.
Right.
And he needs $500 to get it back.
Now, his Facebook, and I know it's the right guy because it's all alligator and like snake-related stuff. Mm-hmm. Owner-operator at Jungle's Edge Exotic and a couple other things. Okay. Listen, the picture on the GoFundMe for this, the story is very much a sad story. He was only 100 feet away from the house. He's too smart for his own good. He got up on the couch, out the window, and he was taken to to a rescue place in New Jersey. Bring Chompers home. It is a picture of a young lady hugging Chompers. Like, I hold Lance up on my shoulder as, like, a gag and hold him like a baby. That is what Chompers is doing.
He says, with
his mouth taped shut, mind you. He's such a beloved pet that you don't think he might rip your jugular out.
Mr. McGowan says that he spoons Chomp on the couch, that they will settle in and watch a Pirates game.
I want to know, if he's a beloved pet...
They'll sit down, listen to Joe Block, and spoon.
Okay. If he,
by the way, 11:25 on Friday for Block.
Joe Block, yeah, on Cook and Joe.
Yes.
Here's my question. He lays on the couch with his alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have that alligator's jaws taped shut? Because if he's a beloved pet, why would you...
Wait, there are pictures that show that the jaws
The picture on the GoFundMe, the jaws are taped shut, right?
Yeah.
If he's such a beloved pet, does Chomp, who I assume because of his name likes to... he's a rescue gator. I assume Chomp... likes to eat things. Do you tape his jaws all day? My dog, Lance, is 11 and a half pounds. He occasionally plays overzealously and will nick me with one of his teeth. That is a beloved pet.
Do you buy Mark's story that...
Chompers is a 5-foot alligator that could kill lots of things, including you.
Do you agree that he's been wrongly persecuted here, that dog owners, like my dog gets out, one of my dogs runs wild all the time. It will go two or three
Poppy?
Houses down. Yes, because there's another dog down there that she likes to play with. And I don't have law enforcement officials pounding on my door.
Your dog isn't an alligator. That feels self-evident.
Fair point.
That feels self-evident here. Like, I shouldn't have to say your dog is not a five-foot-long wild reptile that is the closest thing to a dinosaur in modern times.
There's more. According to this KDKA TV story, neighbors are now upset with Mark that he did not disclose the fact that he had all these alligators and reptiles.
Wait, didn't he say hundreds of people would know about Chompers and say he's a loving
pet? Now his neighbors are so upset that he's moving.
It sounds to me like...
He's been forced out. Ugh. He's been ridiculed.
It sounds to me like Mark is a guy who wants you to believe that he owns an exotic pet shop and he does exotic pet displays, and maybe he does, but that he does it in the
sly. Are you willing to send him maybe $10 or $20 to help his cause?
I'm not willing to send him a dime.
Why?
Not one dime. He's got a 5-foot gator living in his house, and he talks about the gator escaping his house and getting out into a public area.
It must have been raining outside. He went into my living room, up on my couch, and out my window, through my locked-in screen. Reptile owners aren't able to call.
Wait, that's a dead giveaway right there. That the alligator is still not... If it was completely docile, I don't think it would break through a screen to get outside.
Mark clearly has an attachment to this gator that he has rescued.
Anybody, because then they're bad people. People don't like reptiles.
People don't like reptiles, you know? You know, Chomp got out, and you would think the community would understand.
Now, if he's a licensed reptile dealer and owner, which he is, why would he be afraid to call the police about it? I don't get that part.
Would you
it.
Not say, if you were Mark McGowan, hey, my alligator
I need
got
some
out.
Help getting
I
it back.
I screwed this up. I admit, like, I did not have the alligator hemmed in enough, but I'm an exotic pet.
Banging on my door like I'm a drug dealer.
I got those cops banging on my door like I'm cooking meth in the back. It's just a 5-foot alligator. He got out through my locked-in screen.
Do you buy the fact that hundreds, possibly thousands of people know Chomp the alligator?
No. I think they know Chomp as something that if they were in their SUVs, they were going to run Chomp over before Chomp decided to make a meal of the neighborhood pets. Okay?
All right. We had an ugly incident in sports last night, and I'm not talking about what happened in Atlanta with Clint Hurdle and Joe Musgrove. Want to get Chris's thoughts on that? I want to hear some of yours, too. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. It's Pony and Muller on the Fan.
After Kevin went down, the crowd almost cheered. Can you maybe give some of your reaction to that?
I've lived here. Really enjoyed the people and their passion and excitement for not only the game, but just when you come in and just enjoy, you know, life and the nice people. Very confused around that reaction. It's not my experience with the people of this city. And I commend, obviously, Danny Green and Kyle Lowry especially. I think they were the ones that were kind of signaling to the crowd, like, let's check ourselves a little bit and understand that this is about an individual and a human being and not, oh, shoot, he's out, he's hurt, we won the championship. That was probably the initial thought. You hate to see that when a guy's going, you know, through pain like that. So I just hope that ugliness doesn't show itself again as we go forward in this series.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. In 10 minutes, we'll react to what happened last night in Atlanta with the Pirates and Braves. You'll hear from the people involved, except you won't hear from the umpire because baseball doesn't make those guys available on camera or on mic, but that's maybe an argument we can table for another time.
I was very surprised, though. I'll say this. I saw quotes from the umpire.
Yeah.
Somebody actually endeavored to get in touch with the guy, and he spoke.
Okay, so that was Steph Curry after the Warriors beat the Raptors last night, got Kevin Durant back, but then lost him again, this time to what is being reported as a torn Achilles. Calf injury that kept him out for 4 weeks, and then do-or-die game, comes back, and then gets hurt. Raptors fans cheering when Durant was down. And unless these Raptors fans have been living in a cave with, you know, with no access to any type of information, they clearly knew Durant's injury situation going in here and
correct.
Could surmise quite easily that it was serious. And because they're on the brink of winning a championship and Durant is a great player, they cheered because they thought in the moment, now our chances of winning tonight and winning a championship have improved.
I'll be honest, man. I can't I can't, in that very quick moment, blame them too much, and here's why. If Kevin Durant breaks his leg, like, in half, Kevin Ware style, right? Compound fracture. Everybody can see it's obviously bad. When Michael Irvin had the neck injury in Philly and fans at the Vet cheered him, like, you knew watching that play happen, something was drastically, dramatically wrong instantly, right? When Durant pulls up, and I know if it's an Achilles, that's a year-long, you know, rehab.
Mm-hmm.
But when he pulls up and you're watching it in the moment, you know he had a strained calf. You could surmise as a fan maybe it was the calf, like, acting up or cramping up because he falls down to the floor and eventually he grabs down at the lower portion by the Achilles. But in that very first kind of 10-second window, it just looks like a guy falling to the floor, like, gently easing himself down. My point is it doesn't look like a catastrophic injury.
I disagree with you. I think you're overthinking it.
I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt that they did not realize his season next year was over.
You're missing the boat. It's not about that.
It's about not cheering injuries under any circumstance?
No, it's not about that either. It's that Kevin Durant is one of these athletes that most sports fans have made up their minds that they don't like the person because of what he did to basketball, because he said, if I can't beat you, I'm going to join you, and went from the Thunder to the Warriors and created this unbelievable team.
Correct.
And so when that guy gets hurt, fans don't think twice about relishing in the injury. If Michael Jordan went to Toronto and played in front of basketball fans up there, even LeBron James, there is no way they would cheer for his injury. None.
I disagree with you. I think you're casting the whole they don't like KD thing out and saying that's the reason they cheered. They cheered because they thought they were going to win.
It's the same thing here.
No, I disagree.
When Eric Lindros got blown up by Darius Kasparaitis and was bleeding on his way to the bench and was clearly concussed, fans cheered because they didn't like him. If the perfect game was here, when Juju lit him up, the entire stadium would have gone bananas for that, even though he was clearly knocked out, because we don't like those players. And that if it's somebody that is well-respected, when they get injured, I think fans think twice about cheering on the injury because the person has a certain standing or stature in the game.
I disagree. I would, like, the only guy you've named, or maybe, like, perfect, I would chuckle, or Rodney Harrison. If Rodney Harrison had gotten lit up in his days, I would have laughed because I thought he was a dirty player. In the NBA, the players rule the league. And I think teams, like, fans will come out to see a visiting player in their home gym, like Atlanta Hawks fans, if there's Durant or LeBron, they'll come out to see him because he's a spectacle unto himself. You said it best the first thing you explained, when you first explained this. All those fans who are dying for a championship in that town, the last major four championship they had was in 1993 with the Blue Jays, they thought this was it. That was their ticket. And I think in the very quick moment after, they cheered because, holy crap, their trump card is definitely not playing again in this game, and they're not thinking about the severity of it or the human cost. I don't honestly believe Kevin Durant's thin-skinnedness or the fact that he went to Golden State in the first place factors in that moment. I don't think fans are doing the mental calculus of, I don't really like this guy, therefore I will cheer. I don't. You think if Curry goes down with an injury, they're not cheering because they have fonder feelings for him?
No, I think they are, because the Warriors have just become the team that everybody roots against and wants to see lose. And if any of their star players gets injured, the fans in the opposing arena are probably cheering if it's a playoff game.
I rest my case then.
If Tom Brady got injured here,
people would cheer.
In week one.
If Tom Brady clearly tore his
belly,
dancing in
flopping and high-fiving and taking their clothes off and streaking.
I don't care that it doesn't make it cheaper, Malzy. If they go through the Patriots now, it's all on the up and up.
Listen, I'll admit to this. When Bernard Pollard tore his ACL, Brady's ACL,
yep.
There was a part of me out in the open saying, thank God, now this season is wide open. Like, I'm not unhappy that Tom Brady got
hurt. But again, it's about who we like and who we don't like. If Larry Fitzgerald...
But I respect Brady for how good he is, though.
Hold on. If in the Super Bowl, you're talking about you can almost taste a championship.
Mm-hmm.
If Larry Fitzgerald gets injured in Super Bowl 43...
Yep.
And it's not like he gets carted off the field. He, like, sprains his ankle badly.
Yeah.
But he's done. He's out of the game.
He's clearly heavily limping, yes.
Are Steelers fans cheering?
Yes.
No, they are not! There is... put that Twitter poll question out there.
Well, no one's going to admit to it. No, I'm not going to put
not.
It out there.
There is no,
no one's
way.
Going to admit. No one's going to admit even
like
an anonymous
poll. Because we like Larry Fitzgerald.
No.
Yes.
People would cheer.
No,
but
no
they won't
way.
Admit to the fact that they would cheer.
Ask that guy right there who's a big Steelers fan, Harkins.
He's also wearing all
if
pit
Larry
gear.
Fitzgerald got hurt in Super Bowl 43 as a Steelers fan, are you cheering?
No, I'm not.
There
because
you go.
You're a huge Pitt honk.
Because that gets back to what
no,
I said, because he
say
likes
it,
Fitz.
Say it. You like Pitt.
It's a
I
guy,
said that's why.
It's
yeah.
a guy people here like. If you're likable, you don't get...
Kurt Warner was pretty likable if he ripped his ankle up in Super Bowl 43.
I don't think people cheer. I don't. He's a likable guy.
I don't think it's KD
he was
being
boxing
not likable.
Shelves. His wife had a crew cut.
Wait, how does that come into his likability
I don't
factor?
Know. She was a nice woman.
She ended up going away from the crew cut after The Greatest Show on Turf. I think her with the crew cut, they won a Super Bowl.
So
her
why not
with,
keep
with
the
longer
crew cut?
Hair, yeah, they lost in the Super Bowl. You would think the hair has to be the suspicious thing here. Superstitious thing. You said it, though. The fans could taste a title when the best player on the other team came back and then went down because they felt like, okay, they're out of options now.
I'm sorry. There's no way if it's Bulls-Raptors and Jordan leaves a game, even if it's a championship game, the fans cheer there because of Jordan's reverence in the game. Zero chance.
I don't know, man. I think you're asking people in the moment to stifle
think,
their human feelings.
And I think they're the scum of the earth for the most part. If Magic Johnson gets injured in Boston, I don't think the fans cheer there because of the respect they had for Magic at the time.
Oh, I disagree with that. I think Celtics fans would absolutely have cheered and said odious things.
All right. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
We're allowed.
Speaking of agree to disagree, did you hear Cook and Joe today?
No, ooh. I did not. Did they get spicy?
Well, there is trouble in paradise.
Did they toss a few dashes of hot sauce on it?
And Pompeiani was stuck in the middle of it.
Like a kid watching the parents fight from the top of the steps? Oh, boy.
We have the audio.
I can't believe
we're
this.
We're allowed to play it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.